Thank you, buddy. Oh my goodness. You guys are still going, huh? Wow. You beat last night. It's only 8:57. You beat last night by 19 minutes. You guys are backsliding. Cutting worship off, you backsliding. You guys are totally out of your minds. Like, we've been going all day. People out there working, serving, and then you're all back here tonight. Woo! Roman, Grillmaster, good to see you, buddy. I ate one of them burgers. It was ridiculous. Thank you. I mean, it was good. That thing was fat and juicy. I was like, Lord Jesus. I was thankful I was a carnivore. Man, there's actually something I feel like I'm supposed to talk about. Very important. I mean, it's all important, the whole gospel. But something I don't know that I talk about enough, actually, and it was when David and I were in the room talking a little bit about some things, and the person of Holy Spirit came up. And then Miss Lisa, when she was sharing her testimony, she said about Holy Spirit, and don't you think you can do this without Holy Spirit? And then David said, you can't do this leadership thing without fellowship and relationship with the person of Holy Spirit. Like, he's our empowerment. So I just feel like I really, really need to talk about him. And that he's essential. He's essential for the Christian life. Like, all the stuff I'm preaching, you can't live without the person of Holy Spirit. You can't live without his help, without his empowerment. But I'm not just talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We even get impersonal sometimes with that, and we turn that into an event and then an occasional filling. No, he's a person. Yeah. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's not a wind, a goosebump. He's not a bird. He's God the Holy Spirit. And he's here to empower us. He's on the earth. And according to Acts, he's here to empower us to be a witness, to give us power and do us with power, and to be witnesses, to bear witness of the Lord. So without Holy Spirit, like Jesus told his disciples, don't do anything, don't go anywhere. Stay right here till he comes and empowers you to bear witness. I mean, that's a big deal. Not just talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though I am. And we'll look at a couple of scriptures, but I'm talking about friendship, fellowship, and relationship with him. And that's where some leaders and teachers and theology people were like, well, no, you know. I've heard people say, you're not even supposed to talk. You're only supposed to pray to God in Jesus' name. I'm like, that's prayer request. That's supplication. You can talk to Jesus. You can talk to the Father. I talk to everybody. You talk to Holy Spirit. Let's just show you something. Go to Philippians chapter 2 real quick. Real quick. But then we're gonna do something, and we just want to honor you tonight, Holy Spirit, and forgive us if we take you for granted and just assume your presence, assume your wisdom, and having gotten personal with you, teach all of us to get to know you more. Yeah, and if I haven't spoken about you enough, we can't live this life. He's essential. You can't live the Christian life without the person of Holy Spirit in your life. We said it yesterday, the Christian life is totally impossible. To live the words of Jesus is impossible for a person without him. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, Well, he's talking about our lives in the end of Philippians 1:27, that our conduct be worthy of the gospel, and that whether he's there or not, that we stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We talked about that this weekend a bunch. That we all strive together for the faith of the gospel. Talk about a unit. Talk about oneness. Talk about a community of believers. Yeah? Not in any way. What? Not in any way terrified by your adversaries. How's that possible? Because we've settled in our hearts in prayer through relationship and communion with God that we're not living for ourselves. We're not just living for well-being. We're living to be a witness. We're living to glorify and manifest his name. We've settled in our heart. We're never going to die. We love not our own lives unto death. We're wholly committed. We've denied ourselves, picked up our cross, and we're following Jesus. Not in any way terrified. If you're a Christian for any other reason, you'll be totally fixed on circumstances and you'll live a roller coaster life. And how it's going is always going to define who you are and how you're doing. And your whole prayer life is going to revolve around God changing things in your life instead of changing your life. You can't be a Christian for you. It's not even scriptural. You have to be a Christian for his great name. You're not a Christian for well-being. You're a Christian for the manifestation of Christ. Amen. Come on, just get this with me. Tomorrow there's going to be messages after messages after messages that promise you something from God without even provoking you to be transformed by him. Making promises that maybe he didn't even make, saying how he's going to do this. I had a pastor, a very wise man, a long time ago when I first got saved and I started preaching, and he said, listen, if you want to be sure to run Holy Spirit out of a meeting, go ahead and tell the people that he's here to meet every one of their needs, because that's the last thing he's here for. And that's what preachers do all the time. The music's right. Their voice gets up. He's here to meet every one of your needs. And they're hoping that it's true. But a lot of your needs are wants. Some of your needs are dictating your disposition, which is borderline idolatry. Because now you're letting things matter more than what matters most. And it's all about you getting something from him. He's not here to meet all the things we call needs. He's here to make us more like Jesus. And when that pastor told me that, I got convicted. I said, wow, not that I was doing that. I thought, that I'm glad he told me that. Because that's a church phrase. He's here to meet everyone. They'll kick off a conference like that. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad we registered. The music's piping. He is here to meet every one of our needs. Who believes? Wow! And it's not why he's here. He's here to make you more like him. He's here to form you in the midst of need to look like you're filled with him. Like you're lacking no good thing. That in the middle of the fire, you ain't looking at fire. Because you ain't living to not be in the fire, and you ain't trying to get in that fire. But it ain't even about the fire. Look, if it was about the fire in Shadrach's day, Jesus would have put it out. Isn't it cool he didn't put it out? I'm so glad he let it burn. He's telling us, hey, it's not about what you're going through. It's about how you're going through it. I ain't even stopping what you're going through. You just keep your eyes on me and don't bow to nothing that ain't me. Don't bow to fear. Don't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. Don't bow to the fire. Don't love your own life. Don't make it about dying, because it's always about living. And when you end up in there, I'm right with you. You ain't going to be bound in there. It ain't going to have effect on you, and you would come out. You ain't going to look like you were even in there, except you're going to have increased zeal and passion and confidence. And you're going to even know more what you believed when you went in there. You're going to know it more. That's how it works. When Shadrach and the boys came out, do you think they were like, what? Wow. They were so fired up, so passionate. They had to be. They come out of that fire, they were like, I knew it. This is probably where the fishbone came from. The day they came out of that fire, bam, bam, high-fiving, we knew it. We knew it. Nebuchadnezzar did a 180. He went a little extreme. He made another decree that wasn't really the cool. He said, anybody that don't believe the God is ever, they're going back in that fire. He wasn't quite getting it. I want you to see this. Not in any way. Woo! I've been a Christian 28 years. I'm not being sarcastic and mean. I'm not being judgmental. That's just not the normal response that I see in the average person that says they're a Christian, like a general confession of Christianity. It's terrified in any way. I see people terrified by a lot of things. That's a giveaway. You can't be a Christian for you. I'm not saying, you know, that it's cool when things go wrong and things. It's but we're to count it all joy.
Come on.
That's right. But I don't see that. I don't know that we get that. Like, we're to count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations and things. Why? Because it produces perseverance. And that thing is going to make you mature and complete and lacking in nothing. So it's never about the trial ever. It's about you being formed in Christ. And as you're being formed in Christ, you'll see the trial clear. And it'll never be about what you're going through, because you've become something through what he went through. It's always about what he went through. You're saying, but you don't know what I'm going through. What about what he went through? He's over there saying, what about what I went through? To make you something in the middle of what you're going through. So there's a manifestation of me and you can be a witness. Why else would you count it all joy? It ain't like, woo, I got a lot of bills and no money. Whoop, whoop. That ain't what he's talking about. Sorry. I wish I could dance. I would have broke out on that one. You need a different preacher if we got to dance. Although a long, long time ago, you remember the song Dance With Me? And who broke out and sang that thing at one time? There was just the guy and the girl that did things together a long time ago.
Nick and Rachel?
No, no. Oh, they're popular people too. And they're beautiful, wonderful people. I've played it so many times at home. So I had it on the stereo blaring one day. Dance with me, Lord, lover of my. And it's playing. And I'm walking through the house and I'm like, I'm singing it. And he said, the Lord said, so why aren't we dancing? Said it. My heart pounded like somebody like asked me to dance. Like, boom, 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 boom. He said it straight. So why ain't we dancing? I can't dance. He said, so why ain't we dancing? I heard it. I stopped. I'm the only one home. So I'm either out of my mind. I should get a hobby. Or God said that to me. I'm sticking with God said that to me. And I said, so I like in my heart and mind just took hold of the Lord. And I didn't know I could dance like that. He helped me, I think. He took the lead, I guess. We danced all over that house. I twirled, went down the steps, come back up, and that music was jamming, and I was dancing with Jesus. And I could tell people, I danced with the Lord. Oh, yeah, right, you danced with the Lord. You emotional. No, he said, so why ain't we dancing? But that's how real he wants to be. So who was I dancing with? Theologically, I was dancing with Holy Spirit. He's in my life. He's my friend. He's my best friend. He'll never steer me wrong. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's here to lead me, to teach me truth, show me things to come, to bear witness of everything that Jesus said, to actually bring him glory, Jesus' glory. Like, he's here for a lot of amazing reasons. And that day I'm singing and he's like, I think I need to be a little more real and relevant to this dude. He's like singing to me, but how about just dancing with me? Psst, why ain't we dancing? I was like, ah, he just asked me to dance. So it wasn't that I couldn't dance. It was more, he just asked me to dance. Sorry, I'm going back there right now. I'm just visiting for a minute. I'll come back. I'm coming back. We can have so many things with him like that. Just driving in my truck. There's so many countless things. He's my friend. But yet he's still God the Holy Spirit. But he's my friend. That's not blasphemy. He loves me. He loves to live in me. Jesus paid a price for him to come into me. I've been a house fit for a king and didn't know it. I'm a dwelling and abiding place as I'm yielded and surrendered. He loves to live in me. He's not looking to live in some mansion in the sky. He wants to live in you and I. Doesn't he? So we're not in any way terrified by your adversaries. That's proof of your salvation. What's proof of your salvation? Evidence, the manifestation, expression of your salvation. We're not terrified by anything. Why? Because we're never going to die. Let's stop letting death be our motivation. Let's stop letting trouble provoke our prayer instead of promise and answer and victory. The Christian's supposed to decree a thing and it come to pass. You know why we don't decree a thing? Because we're afraid of the thing we're trying to decree over, so we turn it into prayer, which is normally fear with language. We call it prayer, but it's fear with language. A lot of the things we pray about like that wouldn't even be prayer if we didn't have fear. We'd just make a declaration. Father, I just thank you that, man, you just, God. Oh, and we decree a thing, because as soon as you fear, you subvert authority. So now you don't even have authority, you just have need. Are you with me? So we're talking about Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about Holy Spirit, but we're throwing some freebies. They're all free. We're just throwing some stuff out there. And the problem is, see, the Lord's doing this to me. The problem is I backed up and I'm reading four verses. How can I read four verses without four verses? There's a lot of meat in four verses. Pick any four. We'll go for an hour. It's just so good. But we're not in any way terrified. It's proof of our salvation to the enemy. It's proof of his destruction. For to you it's been granted. See, I don't know if we read this stuff or if we pass over it. But for you it's been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Like, that just means that's not sickness, disease, calamity. It means being in the world and not of the world's mindset. Being in the world and not being received from the world for the way you think, motivated, sometimes called passive, pushover, enabler. Sometimes taking a stand against things and be called a hater. A lot of people will label you for living Christ because they're not living Christ. So they feel like they have to have an opinion about that. So you're going to suffer persecution living for him. You're going to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you see and is now in me, Paul says. So now I'm getting to why I turn to this. Therefore, the only reason I did that, I never jump into the therefore. It's almost a law to me. I won't preach from a therefore because you have to be sure you know what it's there for. A lot of misinterpretation, a lot of mispreaching of the Bible comes from jumping into a one line without understanding the context in which it was written. Are you with me? Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, that's encouragement, which there is. If there's any comfort of love, which there is. Now this one's amazing. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, koinonia, co-union, communion. Co-union with Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody tell you you don't talk to him. Don't let anybody tell you God doesn't talk today or he's not talking. It says Holy Spirit will only speak that which he hears. So if he's going to speak that which he hears, he's talking. Now, I know you all, but there's visitors, there's people. I know you guys all. You know he's talking. You know he's speaking. But he only speaks that which he hears, so he's speaking. We should be expecting him to speak. But if you have fellowship and communion with Holy Spirit, that means you have relationship, friendship, and conversation. A marriage that doesn't communicate isn't going good, isn't healthy. David and I wouldn't drive back to York together for whatever reason, because he had to pick some up and, hey, can you run me back to your town because I got to pick up this car and bring it back. And since you're going, can I ride with you? We would never drive down the highway and not communicate and talk, especially because I'm in the car. I put that on myself, brother. But he would talk. We would talk. We would commute. Why do we drive and do it all the time and not talk to him? You have a song playing about him. You have a sermon teaching about him, but never maybe be intimate and commune with him. You might pray to him about your stuff, your needs, your list, but never just commune with him. There's a song you play because it touches your heart and makes you feel close. So be close and say thank you for loving me this way, and I appreciate you in my life, and I thank you you're never going to leave me, and my fears and worries are over because you're in me and you're faithful. Thanks for leading me. I'll never lack wisdom. You are the living God, and you've come to me by the power of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Now, as you're doing that, keep your hand on the wheel and drive. But we listen to these songs that move us. So when we need moved, we turn the song back on. Don't you drive in your car 30 miles and not acknowledge he's with you. Don't get tricked into wearing a Christian t-shirt, listening to the Christian lyrics, and listening to Christian sermons, and never communing with the Spirit of God. And when it moves you that he loves you, talk to him about that. When it moves you that he forgave you, believe that. When you're listening to that song and that lyric and you can forget your past has nothing to do, and you have no regrets, how he loves me song, and regrets don't matter. Man, when you get to that part, thank him. That's legit and real, and you see me for what you created me to be, and you're molding me into that same thing. Talk to him. Yeah? Why? Because you have fellowship of the Spirit. We just don't talk about it quite enough. I feel convicted of that tonight. Go to 2 Corinthians 13 real quick, and then we're going to move forward and cover a little bit of ground. Holy Spirit's amazing. He's imperative. He's essential. You can't live the Christian life without the person of Holy Spirit. He said, tarry in the city and wait here and hang out. Yeah, but the whole world's going to hell. We got to get out there and evangelize. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You need the promise of the Father. You tarry till the promise of the Father comes and you're empowered. Because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be my witnesses. So Jesus is serious about your life bearing witness. Man, that's your attitudes. That's your responses. That's your motives. That's your life lived. That's walking in the light. He's very serious about you bearing witness. Not getting a blessing in a basket full in a barn filled. That's great. He's very serious in that scripture about being a witness. Come on. Don't get quiet on that one. That's a good one. He's very serious. So serious that he sent the person of Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at it. But watch this. Verse 13. All the saints greet you. Of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Let me back up to 11. Thank you, Lord. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Woo! Paul, you're awesome. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind and live in peace. What a papa. Be complete. Where are you complete? In Christ. I could show you Colossians 2. Beware lest any man cheat you, rob you, take you plunder, and hold you captive through philosophy, empty deceit, traditions of men, the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For he is the full expression of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Not in your relationships, not in your ministry, not in your title, not in your calling, not in your gifting. You're complete in him. Yeah? You're built up in him. You're strengthened in him. You're established in him. You walk in him. You find yourself in and through him. Not each other. Him. Ah. So Paul, he's writing, he says, farewell. But he ain't signing off. He's such a papa. He says, farewell. My Bible has a period. Finally, brethren, farewell. You think he dropped the pen and go. Instead, he says, be complete. In other words, keep your eyes on Jesus and know who you are through him. Isn't that what he's saying? And don't get caught up in anything less and sell cheap because you're not for sale. How do you know he's meaning that? Be of good comfort. Be of one mind and live in peace. I'll tell you what, when we're complete, we'll live in peace. When we got needs and we're driven by them, peace gets unsettled. When you need people to do you right, touch you right, say the right thing, never say the wrong thing, you ain't going to have peace in that room. Because somebody's going to mess up, not be sensitive, and not realize somebody's just not going to meet your need. And doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means you have a need. But when you have a need and you focus on it, then you become self-focused, self-centered. You don't even realize it's happening. It's not evil. It's not intentional. You didn't wake up and consciously think it through the day. It's just not finding yourself, your value, your fullness, and your purpose through Christ. Some people get involved in things that are happening because they find their identity through the happening. They find their identity through being connected and being involved. Got to be careful with that stuff. When a revival breaks out in a place, people run to it and a lot of times connect to it to find their identity through what God's doing in the setting. Instead of attached to it because they know who they are and want to be a part of the setting. There's a difference. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace, he will be with you. I color my Bible. I do purple, Christian commandment, Christian conduct. Christian conduct. You know what I'm saying? Christian conduct is always purple. Everywhere you see purple, it's Christian conduct. It's something I'm called to live. I got more purple in my Bible than any color. I think to do my New Testament, I use like 3 colored pencils. I'm old school. I just use colored pencils. I use like 3 colored pencils. Sharpen, use them. Sharpen, use them. I use like 3 colored pencils to do my New Testament. There's so much purple. I go through like 3 purple ones. And we think we just saved to go to heaven. I got 3 pens worth of purple on Christian commandment. Christian conduct. Everywhere there's a condition to a promise, I put purple. The promise is orange. Promises aren't just a given. Sometimes like children. Children, you got the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother, purple, and it will be well with you, and life shall be long, orange. I live the purple, I walk in the orange. I live the purple, I walk in the orange. Woo! You get it? Look, purple, orange, purple, orange. Brethren, become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind and live in peace. Does that sound like conduct, Christian living? Does that sound like a commandment? And the God, orange. So if I live the purple, the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, who knows theologically, he'll never leave me or forsake me. He's always with me. He's talking about in manifestation of who he is and what he does. You get it? The God of love. That means love will be prevalent among you. Noticed, realized. Yeah? The God of love and peace. Woo! Yeah, not some fleeting thing, just peace. It'll be with you. So now he's trying to wrap up. He's like a lot of us preachers. Paul just can't wrap up. He said farewell back a ways. Paul, I thought you said farewell. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. The love of God and the communion. The fellowship, the union, co-union of the Holy Spirit be with who? You all, so be it. Amen. Woo! So let me show you what he just said. The love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which came through Jesus and was prompted by the love of God, for God so loved that he gave. So through the grace of the Lord Jesus, because God loves us, we've been introduced to the communion and fellowship of Holy Spirit. That's the Christian life. So the grace of God, which came because of the love of God, opened up the door for fellowship with his Spirit. Let's not live the Christian life without knowing him. See, I take for granted sometimes, I think, when I preach and talk about knowing him, that I'm just talking, that I'm talking about that. But tonight I'm just amplifying and specifying it's through the person of Holy Spirit. If we wanted to get theologically correct and go by the book, God the Father's in heaven, Holy Spirit is on the earth, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, sitting on the mercy seat, on his blood, vowing with his body to fulfill everything his blood has proclaimed. Mediating between God and man. That's technically, scripturally, the way it is. And Holy Spirit is on the earth. Now, I talk to the Lord. Jesus, I say thank you. I think about his cross. I talk to him about that. I talk to him about his motives, his expression of love, that you're so much more than my Savior. You are so my hero. You have modeled what love looks like. You have come and shown me the Father. Father, you're amazing. You never gave up on me. You never changed your mind about me. You always see me for what you created me for and what you called me to. You don't see me for where I've been and what I've done. You see me for where Jesus has been and what Jesus has done. And you pulled me out of darkness into your light. You have washed me. You have saved me. You have set me free. That's me when nobody's looking, talking to him. You can tell how it pours out of me that that's a common conversation. Yay. It's amazing. The Bible says the Lord is the Spirit. Well, now I'm confused. I thought Jesus was the Lord. See, they're one. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of his, it's all the same. But the person of the Holy Spirit, of Holy Spirit, is the one that's here having communion and fellowship with us. That's the one Paul, in two references I showed you, acknowledged fellowship. You don't have co-union without conversation. Asking questions. When I read my Bible, Holy Spirit, you penned this through men. This is what I do when nobody's looking. You've penned this through men. You meant something when you wrote it. God the Father meant something. You meant something. Give me the revelation. Show me what you're saying. Don't let me read it and not see it. I want to know you. I want to know you. Don't say, well, I don't read my Bible because I don't understand it. Holy Spirit does. And he's in you, whether you realize it or not. And he's here to lead you and guide you in all truth. He's your helper. So if you need help, what Jacob said, don't think you don't need help. And you got emotional. Why? You got a helper. So the fact that you need help just means you're going to get the helper. Amen? Okay. So I just showed you two places where the Bible specifically talks about communion and fellowship with Holy Spirit. You agree? Did we do that? So there's something we're supposed to have with him that's intimate. That's more than a confession. Who would agree? Okay. So some people, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, personal Holy Spirit, obviously the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus is referring to in Acts chapter 1. When you shall receive the promise of the Father, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He came upon them, their heads, fire on their heads. They began to pray in tongues. But you have to understand that that baptism is the beginning of the ability to have the communion and have the relationship. So it's not a one-time event. It's not, okay, yeah, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues. And we sell out the communion with the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. So we say, yeah, I got. And then other people say, well, you didn't get the Holy Spirit if you didn't pray in tongues. And we make it all about tongues instead of Him. And now you got people out there believing He ain't in their life, even though they asked and opened their heart and said, come and empower me. And now just because they didn't pray in tongues, because maybe they were taught different, they had a little stronghold in their head, they were a little self-conscious at the moment, but yet Holy Spirit's there, because how much more the Father will give Holy Spirit to them who... Well, that brings me to another point, because some people say, well, you got enough of the Holy Spirit when you got saved. You got as much as you're ever going to get. There's so much out there. Instead, but the Bible answers it all. So if Luke 11:13 says, we being of evil nature know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? Okay, if we have Him already, why are we asking? I can show you Acts 8. I can show you. It's 14. Philip went to Samaria and God did amazing, beautiful things through Philip. But when the disciples heard from Jerusalem that Samaria had received the gospel, they heard that the Holy Spirit had not fallen on any of them. Go there. It's Acts 8:14. It's in your Bible. No, this is amazing. If He's automatic, if He just comes, if you get as much of Him as you ever going to get when you pray the prayer, it's not in your Bible. While you're turning to Acts 8, let me just quote Acts 19. Paul's walking down the road, and there's some people, because in that culture, they wore certain things to depict certain things. He saw the way they were all dressed and knew they were followers of something. And he said, hey, guys, he figured they're believers. Guess what he said? He didn't say, great weather, ain't it? Boy, a little hot today. Glad it ain't humid. Where are y'all heading? He said, hey, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Have you received Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard if there's a Holy Spirit. He said, what? He said, what are you all baptized into? Like, where are you from? What do you believe in? What are you following? He said, oh, we're baptized into John's baptism. John the Baptist. He said, oh, John was preaching a baptism of repentance to prepare the way. Guys, he already came. The way already came. He's Jesus. He's God's Son. He was dead on the cross, but He rose on the third day, and He preached the gospel to them, and they all got born again. And then He laid hands on them, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit, began to worship God and prophesy. What did Paul do walking down the road? Oh my goodness, believers. Hey, you've been empowered? Are you empowered to be witnesses? Have you received in power the promise of the Father on high? That's what he's saying. They said, we haven't even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. What was the first question on Paul's mind when he saw believers? If Holy Spirit was an automatic and you got as much of Him as you're going to get, Paul's not asking that question. Acts 8. Verse 14, I told you it was there. I read this book. It's in there, and it never left. This is still in there. It's been in here for the last 28 years. Every time I check, it's there. It's so good. Every time you read your Bible, it's the same. So why do we change? We probably get it back to that word and what he said. Woo! Somebody say, well, I don't feel like God loves me. He says He does. He didn't retract the cross. He didn't hit a reverse button. Jesus, whoop, up out of the dead on the cross, back. Back up into the birth canal and back up to heaven. Sorry. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Listen, they do not have rapid transit. They don't have train systems. They don't have cars. They don't have airplanes. They're 35 to 50 miles from where they're at, and they sent them immediately. That's no small task. They're probably sitting sideways on a mule or something. Or walking. But it was so important, they sent them. Why did they send them? They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, for they had only, not making water baptism insignificant, just saying there's more. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what are they saying? They only were baptized into Christ. They were baptized water baptism into his body. But they had, none of them had received the power to bear witness. So they went 35 to 50 miles to lay hands on them, believing he'd come. He's that important. He's essential. And he gets sometimes forgotten, sometimes not intentionally. Sometimes I think we make him a manifestation, a feeling. Oh, did you feel him in worship? I felt him. He's always with you. He's always there. And you don't have to feel him at all to know him. Actually, all the aggression and the stuff you see in me coming out of me, because I know him. Like, I know what I'm saying. I don't have to feel it. So when I do feel it, it's healthy, because I ain't living by the feeling. I don't have to feel him to know he's here. He's here because he said he's here. I don't have to feel his love. You say, I just want to feel the love of God. You better believe it first. Because if you feel it first, then you're always needing to feel it. And if you don't feel it, you question it. Does he really love me? And you're just looking for it again. You're getting 25 people to lay hands on you, hoping for a double dip. What about just walking through your house and stopping and saying, thank you for loving me? When I pastored full-time at a church, full-time pastor, before I started traveling, and I've still counseled and ministered to so many people for countless hours over the years, I would ask people, what's your communion life look like with the Lord? They didn't even know what I was asking. What's your fellowship time? What's your, not your prayer life, not your list, not your need list. What's your intimacy with God look like? And Chris, I'm telling you, hardly anybody had an answer. I'm talking 90% of people, even ministers. I'm like, you never, here's what I found. High 90% of people had never initiated God loving them from their heart to his. Wow. Just walking through the house, Father, thank you for loving me. I so appreciate how you value me. God, thank you for washing me clean, removing every single sin from my life, my history, my heart. God, you've made me clean, and I will never be the same. You know why so many people are asking for deliverance? Because they're not believing those things and they don't feel free.
Come on.
So they're praying to feel different when they should just believe.
Come on.
And when we oblige them, I'm not saying some people aren't bound by things. What I'm saying is, most of the time, what we're looking for in deliverance is an emotional change, is a mood swing. Well, I just feel blocked. So why don't you lift your hands and thank God you're not? Look, I'm not being demeaning. Because if I'm a minister and all I'm doing is trying to get you to feel better, I might teach you to stay sensual and make you vulnerable and a prey to every simple strategy of the enemy. And now you're only doing good if you feel good. And now you're riding high because you just had ministry and you feel great. And a week later, in a course of events, and you haven't changed anything you really believe, and you're right back in the saddle or whatever, and now you need more prayer, more ministry, because something else must be wrong, because I ain't feeling it, brother.
Come on.
has delivered me. Amen. From the power of darkness, translated me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, I'm asking you a question. How many Christians, when nobody's looking, have lifted their hands high in the bathroom, in the hall, in the bedroom, and said, Father, thank you for delivering me. Thank you for setting me free, pulling me out of darkness, and camping me into the kingdom of the Son of your love. Man, I'll be free forevermore. There ain't nothing owns me but you. The blood of Jesus has bought me. I'm not my own. I ain't believing feelings. I ain't believing memories. I ain't believing false dreams, impressions. I'm believing you, and I'm free. I've met very few people that even understand that concept. They just waiting to feel better. And people are obliging them, ministering, trying to get them to feel better in their memory instead of know better in their heart. You think you're going to slip up on me now and remind me of my past? I will just freak out and declare the truth over my life. And I won't even acknowledge the voice. I won't even acknowledge the foul spirit. He's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. You see what happens when you put somebody on a platform? You see what happens when you give somebody a mic? They manifest. We spend so much time, spirit this, spirit that, devil this, devil that, and he's just shh, shh, shh. He's a cut off, withering branch coming to nothing. You don't even fight. Your fight's not even with him. Your fight is faith. Oh, I get it. There's a wrestling against, it's not a flesh and blood. It's powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, high places. There's a wrestling. We know there's something going on. It's not our fight. The wrestling isn't our fight. You're not trying to pin the devil. You're just making sure you ain't pinned. Why? By fighting the good fight. Watch, devil roaming around like a roaring lion, looking for vulnerability, looking for places to strike, seeking who he can devour. It doesn't say rebuke him. It doesn't say get in a circle, hold hands, and pray in tongues. It says resist him, standing steadfast in what you believe. What's your battle point? Faith. What's the enemy trying to do? Shake you out of believing the finished work is enough and the blood is enough and I'm clean and I'm untouchable. And it says, he who keeps himself in this manner, the evil one touches him not. That doesn't mean your circumstances are never challenged. Touches him not. I went through witchcraft years ago. Leaders sat me down and said, why aren't you doing nothing about this? I said, what do you mean? I'm standing in the finished work. Well, why didn't you go to the emergency room? Because it's an evil spirit. He walked in my bedroom. He manifested. He spoke. It's a true story. I don't need a doctor. It's demonic. I need the finished work, and I have it. The one pastor said, well, this bothers me that this is happening to you. You understand righteousness more than anybody I know. I'm convicted by your life, envious of your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and yet this has happened to you. I don't understand how he can touch you like this. I said, I think you're looking at my leg. How about looking in my eyes and tell me if he's touching me? See, he's using my leg to get to my heart. You see what's wrong with a guy like me? I've been in witchcraft and stuff. I'm not like this because everything's been so amazingly above the earth. No, I had spirits come and try to strip this message out of my heart, try to get me to love my own life and pick up the things I put down, try to use fear and pain and physical conflict, and three times in a row it came, and the Lord told me it was voodoo and it was real, and he's enough. Yeah? But I couldn't walk for 10 days. My legs swelled up, it ached, it hurt. Well, brother, how come? Well, you should. Well, shh. Ain't nothing changed about Jesus, his blood, and his word. On the seventh day, my Bible reads the same. On the ninth day, every promise is the same. Scripture didn't change. I ain't changing. Well, you should have. Well, you needed. Well, why didn't you? Shh. In those 10 days, I saw 8 people healed of things they were prayed for over 100 times and never were healed. And I saw 8 things change. I prayed for them in those 10 days because of the component of humility, not changing what I believe because of my situation. And then I dragged myself away. They freaking out, healed. Oh my gosh. And then I just dragged myself away. See you. On the 11th morning, the Lord told me to go to church. I didn't want to go to church. It's hard to get a shower, hard to get dressed, and I didn't want to. People love me at church. They were going to oil me down. I was going to look like the first place pig in the fair, man. I was going to be shiny. They was going to pray over me 1,000 times. I felt like I'd be a distraction. I didn't want to go to church. There was nothing in my heart that wanted to go to church, and he said, go. I knew he said go, so I ain't saying no. And I ain't saying, are you sure? Do you need to rethink that one, Lord? Nope, he said go, and I went, oh. So I got up, got my shower and got dressed. My kids and family was out in the car. 11th morning, went to touch my keys to go, because I'm going. It felt like lightning shot through my body. There's really no way to describe it. Just shot through me. Shoo. Boom. Whoa. Oh! Started running through the house like a madman. Whoa! And what I knew the whole time just went boop. I ran outside. Ah! My family's in the car. My boy jumped out. He was little. What are you doing, Dad? Jesus healed my leg. I'm walking to church. He said, I'm going with you. I was so pumped and hyped. I mean, you think you're ready for this stuff. You believe it, but when he goes, zzz, see, one time I'm laying on the couch with a torn meniscus. The ultrasound said, major tear, emergency surgery, 6 months rehab, workman's comp's kicking in, and you're not going to be able to work for at least 6 months. I'm laying on the couch weeping. God, you love me. You can do anything, and you're a healer. I'm asking you, I know you heal me because you love me. But would you also heal me for the sake of them men I'm pouring into? They see me as a strength. They see me as a pillar. They see me as a representative of truth. And you are rocking their world. God, thank you. And while I'm laying on the couch with a football for a knee and an MRI that says it's tore and I need surgery, he comes over me and overshadows me. And my knee right now, I stand up, and never miss one day of work. So I take the report in, the ultrasound, the MRI reading, whatever, they put me through that thing, that tube. The lady said, oh, you got a major tear. You have no stability. The doctor said, Dan, you got a major tear. You have no stability. I don't know what's tore, but you got a major tear, but it's okay. We got so much advancement, we can fix that. I said, doctor, you're not touching me with that knife. He said, Dan, you need to humble yourself. I'm a believer too. And there ain't nothing wrong with you getting a surgery. I said, it ain't about a surgery. I said, my beef isn't about a surgery. I'm not too big to have a surgery. I said, here's my beef. Where is the power of his name? Sometimes we don't look for it because we have alternatives. Sometimes you got a headache, you just grab what you know worked before. Sometimes you don't just walk through it and say, Father, I'm trusting you and I thank you and I'm going to work. And today, she and I break. Woo! I looked at him. I said, "Doctor, you ain't touching me with a knife." He said, "Ain't nothing wrong, da da da." I said, "Ain't about that. I don't know why I did it, but I cut my hands like I was waiting for somebody to pour water in." I reached out my hands to him, and I looked at him, and tears flooded my eyes. I said, "Where is the power of his name? That when I speak his name, things move and change." He looked at me and said, "You're really passionate and serious about this." I said, "Doctor, I'm playing it way cool just for you." Like I was way more inside than he was seeing. And he was like, "Whoa, okay. Well, I need to see you in 2 days because we got to set up," or tomorrow, whatever it was right away, "because we got to set up da 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 da." And I'm like, "See you, Doc." I wore shorts on purpose. I'm walking in there. I open the foyer door. There's people waiting in the seats. They're patients. Doctor's at a door. It was my door, my file. He pulls it out and he's reading it because it's my appointment time. He looks up. It's him. He looks at my knee. He's a doctor. First thing he looks at is my knee. I'm in shorts. I got no crutches. Come on. I couldn't even, my knee was a football. They stuck a thing in there and sucked this stuff out that looked like Gatorade. It actually had that color. It looked like, I was like, "How'd it get that color?" He said, "It's a protective fluid to keep your knee from bending because there's major damage." We're not denying that, but we're not denying him. So I come walking through the foyer, and I'm walking. He says, "Dan, your knee. It looks amazing." I stood right in the middle of the foyer. I just happened to not be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. There's patients all around. I lifted my hands very high. Amen. He started it. I wasn't trying to take over his office. He started it. I lifted my hands very high and said, "I told you yesterday, doctor, I serve a living God, and his name is Jesus." And everybody's got to like pay attention, because the doctor's amazed and they know I'm there for some kind of treatment, but I sure don't look like I need none. Woo! So I go in there and I knew the protocol. I sat in the little chair, threw my leg up on the table, and did everything he asked me to do the day before that I couldn't do. And he went, "Wow!" And he slapped me across the knee. Not joking. And he said, "Oh my goodness, bam! Your knee's healed." And I went, "Whoa!" So then I had the great privilege of going into my workplace where I'm sowing, where I'm empowered to be a witness. Amen. And they all run to me. They said, "They just told us you're off at least 6 months, that you ain't gonna be back. My team is sad. They're doing without me. I was a good worker. I worked for the Lord. I was making them money. But I was pouring into their lives. And I always went to work to reveal Jesus." Amen. And they said you were going to be out. You had a major tear. You're walking fine. I said, "Guys, Jesus is King. Check out this MRI. My boss is reading it." "No way." "Yes way." "No way." They're grabbing it from me. Like, "What?" The one guy said, "You really believe this stuff, don't you?" Never missed a day of work. It happened on my last day. I had 2 days off. Jesus healed me, never missed a day of work. Supposed to have a surgery and be off for 6 months, rehabilitation. Holding on to the power of his name. Witchcraft, not in any way do you fear your adversaries. Why? I'm already a dead man alive in him. I'm on the earth for one reason, to be a witness. I'm not here to survive. Get this, I'm not being arrogant. I'm trying to help you with something. You're not here to survive. Come on. You're here to shine.
That's right.
And if you're trying to survive, you'll never shine. Wow. And life will move you, not him. And circumstances will dictate you, not him. And you'll be another sincere Christian that goes to church, that's moved by everything but the truth. And now all you do is pray for God to change your world instead of change you. I'm not being mean. I've pastored long enough to know. I'm telling you something I've experienced over and over with good, God-fearing people that misunderstood. I am not talking to hypocrites. It's the lack of knowledge that destroys us. I'm talking to his children. And I'm calling you into something he paid for. Are you with me? Oh my goodness, it gets so late at Redemption House. Let me do this real quick and I gotta stop. John chapter 14. This is fun being together, ain't it? You guys are awesome too. You guys, you just sit there like little birds. You're like little birds in the nest. I got mama bird right beside my bird feeder build a nest. I thought, why did you do it there? She's like upset at every bit of traffic, all the other birds. She's chasing things constantly. I go out to change a feeder and she's like, bah, 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 bah. So I started taking her out stuff to feed her babies. So she realized when I came out, it was cool and she's going to feed her babies. But every time I looked in, they were sitting there like this. They'd hear the commotion or I'd bump the bush when I'd turn and bush would shake. They think mom's coming and they're just little eyes closed. I kind of saw that a minute ago when I was preaching. I looked out. If you love me, keep my commandments, verse 15 of John 14. It's not a challenge. That's not, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Prove it. No, he said, if you love me, well, then do what I said to do. If you love me, do it. It's a response. It's a common response. It's not a challenge. In fact, that's probably the if is probably the little Greek word. I haven't looked it up yet, but it's probably a little Greek word that means since. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, it means since you've been raised with Christ. He's not challenging your salvation. If you've been raised with Christ, prove it. Since you've been raised with Christ, live this way. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for how long? Here's what Jesus is saying when he says another. The word is allos in the Greek. It means the same kind as. He's saying, listen, guys, I'm about to take off and go sit at the right hand. I'm handing you the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church, and you're going to go in my name. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm sending one just like me. And he's going to do in my absence what I would do if I was here. And he's going to be in as many as you believe. It wouldn't be profitable if I didn't go, because if I don't go, then he won't come. So I'm going to go so he comes. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Holy Spirit said to me a long time ago, not against discipleship. I just think sometimes there's an overemphasis. Holy Spirit said to me, Dan, I'm your discipler. I do with you what Jesus did with the 12. So he's the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord was the main mentor of his 12. So now we think we got to be the Lord and be the main mentor of at least 6 or 7. I'm not against you pouring into people. What I'm saying is, let's not forget Holy Spirit, who it wouldn't be profitable if I don't go because he ain't coming. He's going to disciple you just like Jesus discipled them. Why? Because I found it in my Bible. I have an anointing from the Holy One. And I have no need that any man teach me. Now, we still have teachers, but I found this before I even went to a church. You have no need that any man teach you, but that anointing that's in you will teach you concerning all things, even how to abide and remain in him. I'm not saying that you don't, you know, profit from a mentor if it's set up by God, that you see men and respect and glean and honor a prophet in the name of the prophet and receive that reward, or a righteous man. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we get dependent on a significant person and he's Holy Spirit. That doesn't make me an island to myself. That just makes me a believer in Scripture. I don't really talk about this, but I've never had a mentor in my life. I've never had a spiritual father. I don't know who it would be. Now, people that criticize me say, well, it's evident. But people that respect me would go, wow. People say, well, you mentored Todd, you discipled Todd. No, Todd was hungry and clung himself to me like a fly on paper. He saw Jesus in my life, respected the Lord, and said, I'm with you, dude, wherever you are, I'm going. And he just hung around me like a gnat. And I'm good with it. I'm just having fun with how I'm selling it. But in my life, I don't have the memory of ever calling Todd, initiating a phone call, checking in on him, holding him accountable, and asking him how he's doing. Carlton, if I have to call you and hold you accountable, we need to talk about your heart. Now, I understand if you're in addiction or fresh coming off and I'm just keeping tabs. I get that. But most people think they need somebody to watch over. When I got saved, nobody had to tell me to read my Bible. I couldn't wait. I couldn't stop. I wanted to be with him. Nobody had to tell me to get a prayer life. I was saved, Roy. Spirit of God came into me. Life was in me. I got to know him, and I wanted to know him more. So how do you do that? Go close the door and be with him. I would close my door on purpose knowing I had to open it to go in. Duh. But that's a reason. So I would go in my room, my bedroom. I'd never close my bedroom. It ain't closed right now. But I used to close it in the beginning till I established this in my heart. I'd open my door and I'd peek in. Hey, it's me. Can I close it? I'm just here to be with you. Oh, it's so powerful. Now, who knows theologically he's always in me. But there was just something powerful about meeting him in the secret place. And he who's in secret will see me in the secret and reward me in the open. What am I seeking? Him. What's my reward in the open? Him. Woo! So you got to train and teach your heart sometimes. You go in there and you peek the door open. Hey. About the third, fourth day I did it, he would just meet me in a tangible way that's hard to describe. I don't talk about manifestations a whole lot in my life because people go after him. No, you go after him.
Come on.
And if he manifests, there was a day I curled up on my bed. It felt like I was in the middle of a cyclone. It was real. It was wind. And it was circling me like it sounds like when Elisha was in that cave. And he said, do you even realize I've given you the ability to love in my unfailing love? And I just cried and cried. And he was just, no way to describe it. But it felt wonderful. It wasn't like, I'm going to die. No, I was already dead. He's going to abide with you forever. Who is he? He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Look at verse 26. When the Helper comes, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. He will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He sounds really important. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Phew. Nevertheless, verse 7 of chapter 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper's not coming. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Look at verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into some truth, into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. And he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. You cannot live the Christian life without this person, Holy Spirit, to help us. When I found that in my Bible at 4 days old, whenever I was, I said, oh my goodness, he'll never speak on his own authority, only that which he hears. So I'd wake up every morning, what's on the heart of the Father? What's he saying today? Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to hear from the Father? Is there anything he's saying that you can tell me? And sometimes I wouldn't hear anything. And 3 hours later, I'd be just doing something or just reading or singing. Sometimes I'd ask and he'd just answer immediately. It's like, whoa! But if I didn't hear anything, I ask. And all of a sudden I'd be driving and he'd just put something on my heart. I'd say, man, show me, make me aware of everybody around me that you want to reach and touch. If somebody opens up their heart, thank you for the anointing in my life to reach out, God. I started to find that people would talk about their trouble as soon as I'd get near them. They wouldn't even know I was there. They'd be talking to the person around them, but they're just talking their calamity, their dilemma, their physical status. And I'd be standing there and Holy Spirit would say, it's because there's anointing in you to answer the dilemma. They're opening up by my spirit. They don't even realize it. It's because you're here and you have a help and answer. And I would just tap them, excuse me, I couldn't help but to overhear. And I'm just days saved, months saved in the Lord. And I had so many stories of just stopping people, standing in the grocery line. Excuse me, in a post office. Excuse me, ma'am. I heard what you just said. Whole post office got weird. Everybody shut down. They're all talking, chatting, swearing, talking, drinking, partying, stories. And this lady's saying, oh, I can barely get around with this arthritis. I said, excuse me. I was 11 people back. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm saved a week or two. I don't know, some month. Excuse me, ma'am. I couldn't help but to hear what you said. Listen, Jesus has saved me, changed my life. If you'll allow me, I know you don't know me, but man, and I started to cry. If you'll allow me, I would be so honored to pray for you and believe that he heals you and takes that out of your body tonight. And she's looking, and everybody's like, oh my God. Half of them probably went to church. She paid for her stuff. She turned. I don't know why anybody didn't let me go to the front. I'm in line. They wouldn't even look up. They would just stand. I just froze the whole room when I talked about the Lord. They were like, she turned in an elderly voice, probably 80 years old. Sir, I'll be waiting on that bench. I said, God bless you. And I was like, oh, she's going to let me. I couldn't hear. I was ecstatic. I was crying. Nobody let me bump line. She waited for 11, 10 people to go. Wow. I paid, went over and sat and had the most glorious time. I went out in the parking lot. I was like, woo! I was like jumping up in the air. I could click my heels, buddy. I got to the truck and I'm like, am I overreacting? Am I drawing too much out of this? Am I? And he said, Dan, the reason you feel the way you do right now, because what you just experienced is the whole reason you're on the planet. We thought it was blessing, protection, provision, and my breakthrough. Nope. Peter and John went all the way to Samaria to lay their hands on the people because they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. When they did, he came. Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? Peter went to Cornelius' household, and as he preached the gospel, Holy Spirit came on the Gentiles, and they all were baptized in the Holy Spirit and prayed in tongues. Peter said, wow, seeing they've received the same Spirit we have, who can forbid them water that they should be baptized? And they were all baptized in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit came first on that occasion. There's several times in your Bible that they laid hands on people. There's several times where he just came. Acts 2, Acts 10, he just came. Acts 8, Acts 19, they laid hands. Yeah? Praying in tongues is a gift. It's an aspect of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be empowered and to become a witness. Is tongues for everyone? Absolutely. I woke up in the morning after being saved, praying in tongues, had nobody to tell me I couldn't and shouldn't. Nobody told me I could. He was just there. And I was praying this language hard and fast and had no idea what was going on. But I was overwhelmed and knew it was him. It convicted me of my life, some of my motives. I rolled out of bed, on my knees, cried, and started to repent some things and want to change. If I pray in the Spirit, I edify myself. I speak divine mysteries to God, but my spirit man is edified. There's times I prayed in the Spirit and knew exactly what I was praying, spoke it out. There's times I sung a whole song in my bedroom in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden I sang it in English. Wow. Just drive in your truck. And, well, if you have a truck, just drive in your car. And you're just praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. Then you're praying in English, keeping your eyes on the road. He's for today. Paul wouldn't ask the question if he's automatic. He's a separate experience from salvation. He can come at the same time. He can come at water baptism. Sometimes we've been taught so many different things. We get heady up here. We get a stronghold of just making it all about tongues instead of receiving Him. Watch. How much more will Father give the Holy Spirit to them who... Is He 100% guarantee? It doesn't say, unless, of course, you pray in tongues. My pastor's wife, years ago, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She believed He came. She talked to Him every day. She never prayed in tongues because she was concerned about it. She saw a lot of misrepresentation. She was in meetings where they surrounded you in circles and said, say abba-dabba-doo backwards 3 times and you got it. No, she was in those meetings. And she got marked in a wrong way. And she didn't want to make up something. She didn't want to live a facade. She didn't want to create words. So she said, look, I'm just believing You're in me. You've empowered me. And I can be a witness. I am thinking about this other tongue thing because I don't understand it. Her husband called from out of town. She had never seen him cry since they were married. He broke down and cried on the phone and he's out of town. She had no access to him. Her heart broke as a wife. He had to go quick and hung up while he's crying and she's broken. She starts pacing the floor, didn't even know what to pray. She kneels at the couch, realized several minutes later she's praying violently in other tongues. The whole time she talked to Holy Spirit, believing He was in her life. People say, well, if you didn't pray in tongues, you didn't get nothing. Stop it. Stop telling people that. Listen, it's 10:14. If you've never in this room been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come on up here. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, ever, you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to your awareness, you have never been endued with that power to be a witness. Come on up here. Please come up here. Don't stay in your chair if you haven't. Can you guys play something that would suit this? Thank you, Samson. Can I have some of your, who do you think? Some of your school folks, some of your, you can all come up. Just come up the whole way across here, guys. Come on up. I felt in my heart to do this tonight. Watch this. I'm so glad you all came. Listen. 100%, yeah, you can give a little space here. 100% guarantee He's coming to empower your life. 100% guarantee. If you're asking, He's coming. Yeah? Can I have a couple of your students maybe to help me and lay hands on some people? Who's going to help me pray? Okay, good. Because we can do this in a timely, beautiful manner. Come on, I don't know why. I feel like somebody's holding out and needs to come on up. I feel like I'm needing like 3 more people that didn't come up yet for some reason. You're coming up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Who's coming? I felt like I needed 3. Are you coming for prayer? Are you coming to receive? Good girl, thank you so much because I'm feeling like we ain't ready. I'm still feeling like we ain't ready. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Please come. Nobody talking you into anything. We're just going to lay hands on you like they did in the Bible and He's coming. Yeah, I'm just waiting for her. I said 3. I got the girls. Are you both coming for prayer? Good. Thanks for coming. Did you talk each other into it? Did you talk each other into it? No, that's beautiful. Nothing to be concerned about. Nothing to be embarrassed of. You're the ones I was waiting for. I felt like I was going to say, I feel like I need one. And then I thought, man, I think, huh? Is he coming? Oh. We're going to pray for you. Here's what I need you all to do. Look at me, the people that came up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's 100% guarantee He's coming, okay? I believe we can pray in tongues tonight because it's part of that package. The emphasis is receiving him. How do you receive him? Watch. The same way you know you're going to heaven and that you're born again. If I ask you if you're going to heaven, would you tell me yes? Well, how do you know? You just know, don't you? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them who... Are you all asking tonight? Is he coming? All right. I never preach manifestations. I never preach feelings. I've seen people baptized in Holy Spirit where it looked like you electrocuted them and they couldn't even function. I've seen people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They didn't even flinch and feel a thing. We live by faith first and always. Are you hearing me? If it's tangible, it's tangible. If it's not, don't say he didn't come. But we can pray in tongues. Here's what I want my leaders to do, my prayer people, okay? We're going to ask Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to have them ask. And then give them a couple seconds to just say, thank you for coming. And then I'll say, go ahead, guys. And you just lay hands on your person and just say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Receive. And at some point shortly after, just pray softly in your prayer language. Don't compel them. Don't make them say anything. Listen, you start communicating to God. Thank Holy Spirit he's in your life. Thank him he's here. If you get overtaken and just start praying in tongues. I was in a service in Connecticut. It was so passionate, I didn't realize till later I was in an arena where they were taught against it. So I was wondering why I was so passionate and why. And as people were coming down the aisle, they'd get to the front, stop, start trembling and pray in tongues. And I looked at the pastor. I said, the train's rolling, sir, and there ain't no stopping it. I didn't know there was a big feud over the baptism of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit said, you know what? I'm done with this feud. I'm just overtaking the house. Now, it didn't subvert leadership or anything. It wasn't like to upstage the pastor. There was just some stuff going on that I found out later. So he just came in a special, beautiful way. Tonight, we're just going to believe and receive him, okay? Do we got everybody up here that needs to be prayed for the baptism? Would you lift your hands with me? Would you do it if you're here to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? First of all, I want you to just say this. Say, Father, thanks for loving me. Thanks for washing me clean. Forgiving me of everything I've ever done and making me yours. I want to be yours, forever yours. I ain't going nowhere but being with you. Would you empower me tonight and make me shine as a witness? Would you let Holy Spirit come upon me and baptize me in the Spirit? I receive it now, and I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and lay hands on your person. Just say, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. Yeah, Holy Spirit, empower them. It's all right. You don't have to fall. If you feel like you're going to fall, just stand there as much as you can. Stand there. You don't have to fall. Just receive him. Thank him right now. If we're praying for you, say, thank you for being here. Thank you for empowering me. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Now start praying in the Spirit over your person. Just pray in tongues. Listen, the Bible says, if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prayeth. He doesn't control your mouth. He doesn't control your tongue. He gives you utterance. The syllables come, and you'll be able to pray them out right now. Pray over your person in the Spirit. Yep. Don't be afraid. Don't think you're making anything up. If he gives you utterance, just pray out in tongues. Just pray out in the Spirit. Yep, pray out in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, empower your people. Thank you. Yes, empower your people, Lord. Freedom, God. Freedom, God. In the Holy Ghost. Yes, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. Pray out in the Spirit. As soon as you're getting that utterance, be bold with it. Believe. Go for it. Jesus' name. Yes, God. Thanks for empowering him, God, to be a witness for the rest of his life. Yep, loose that prayer language in Jesus' name. Who's praying in tongues? Who's praying in tongues? Anybody up here praying in tongues? Yeah, she's praying in tongues? Good. She looked like she was. Thanks for empowering her, Lord. Just thanks for life change. She said, man, I want a new start. I heard you say it today. Thanks for a new start, God. A new start for the rest of her life. Holy Spirit, thank you. Come, empower her to be your witness. Yes, yeah, pray it out. Don't be shocked. Pray it out. Pray it out. Come on, God. Yeah. Talk to him. If you haven't prayed in tongues, believe you've received him. Don't you let that change a thing. Thank him he's here. Love him. Appreciate him. Thank him. Tell him you believe he's going to be with you forever. You're going to be best friends. Holy Spirit, come. Talk to Holy Spirit. Welcome him. Thank him. Yeah. Yeah, God. It's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, in the book of Acts, they were already baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you look chapters 2, every 2-3 chapters, there was a filling of Holy Spirit. The place would shake. They'd be filled. If you want to stand to your feet and just lift your hands, I just feel like Holy Spirit's just going to do a filling of refreshing and just move in a sweet and beautiful way. You can't conjure it. You can't concoct it. You just position for him. He's God the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Would you fill us afresh? Would you empower us? Would you empower us to be a witness? We welcome you. Thank you. Come on your people. Come on us. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, wells just running over. Anointing our head, our cups running over. In Jesus' name. We love you. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, girl. Just pray those utterances out. You're going to blow up if you don't pray that out. Go ahead, girl. Pray it out. Don't be afraid of it. Yes. There you go. Oh, Holy Ghost, go. Holy Spirit, come, come, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. 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 Empowered to be witnesses. Holy Spirit, forever with you, the person of Holy Spirit. Welcome him. Thank him. Love him. Appreciate him. Hallelujah. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you.
Is singing in tongues the same as praying in tongues?
I mean, it's a song. Yeah, one is language, prayer, song.
Because every time I've tried to speak in tongues, it comes out as song.
Oh, no, that's beautiful. I wouldn't fight that. I would just sing. Paul said he prays in the Spirit and he sings in the Spirit.
Okay.
So, I mean, no, it's not the same thing, but I think it's cool that it comes out that way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be concerned about it.
It's always
awesome. I think it's beautiful. I think singing in the Spirit is amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
Hey, if you're out there and you got your prayer language, just begin to pray and believe that Holy Spirit just looses all these prayer languages. Begin to sing in the Spirit if you can sing in the Spirit. Yeah, Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just make sure you thank him for coming, right? We're not trying to make you pray in tongues. We just thank him that he's coming, that he's here. If you have the utterance, pray it out. If you have the utterance, pray it out. But thank him that he's in you. Thank him that he's with you. Please acknowledge him. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Want to take it? Just at whatever point you feel. Because I'm not, yeah. It's late. I don't know. So whatever you feel like you want to do to wrap it up, because they perceive Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Even in some here in a couple minutes, I'm just going to get everybody quiet. Just have them acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You are welcome to that. Make sure they acknowledge you and begin to talk to you every day. Yeah? You can do that. That way you can close your mouth. You all right with that?
I'll do it just for you, Dan.
So you want me to do it?
I mean, I'll do it.
Yeah. You want me to do it?
I like watching. Learning.
Oh. I was just trying to honor you in the time, you know. Thank you, God. You guys don't even know what time it is. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Okay, I want everybody to listen. This is beautiful. Let's just, I know you're praying. I know you're holding people. I know there's a lot of prayer going on. But I want you to try to listen to my voice for a second. Just hear me. Let's quiet it down and just listen. The people we prayed for tonight, this is what I want you to do right now in your heart. Just whisper this out of your heart. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming. Thank you for being in me, on me, and empowering me. You're my friend. You'll never leave me. And I receive you. Thank you for coming and never leaving. Thank you. Man, that's beautiful. Just close your eyes for a second if you were prayed for. Just close your eyes for a second if you were prayed for. Just watch this. Say thank you for coming and never leaving. You're in me forever. Because that's what you said. I receive you. Now listen, talk to him every day. Don't read your Bible without talking to him. Ask him to bring revelation. Ask him to explain to you what he meant when he had men write it. Ask him questions. Talk to him and let him be your friend. Amen? Believe he'll talk back to you. Believe he'll give you things, direction, insight, wisdom, and direction. Communion and fellowship with Holy Spirit, I pray it be with you all. Father, we thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. Thank you for filling this whole room. Lift your hands with me, would you? All over the room. Thank you for coming and filling us afresh. Anointing our heads and our cups runneth over. Power and witnesses for your glory. We receive you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm going to turn it over to this man of God who you all love and respect.
Come on, can we put our hands together and thank God for all he's done?